Well, Father, we truly do thank you for being here with us tonight. We give you total honor and glory tonight for who you are. I'm asking you, Father God, to move among your people tonight and do mighty works within each one of us. Give us more strength and more wisdom, Father God, to walk through the days that stand before us. And Father God, strengthen those who are weak and weary. Raise us up, Father God, into the third heaven, where we can sup with you continually. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, remember, this Saturday is the dinner. And what time is it? 1 o'clock. And there's directions out on the table out there in the foyer for those who don't know how to get there. I guess I'll put one up because I don't know how to get there either. Amen. I think it was very nice for Reverend Dave and his wife to offer us their building. And they're going to bring some street people. So their church will be with us, and they're going to have street people there. So make sure you make the street people feel at home, and let them know the love of Christ. God said he wants to talk to us about being a sojourner. The first time I ever heard that word was right after I was born again, and one of my daughters was going to some man, and he was a nice person, but yet he had, you know, some funny ways. And I said, God, what's going on with this young man? And he said, he's a sojourner, trying to find his way in, you know, in his place in life. And I said, well, that's, and then I haven't never thought about that word again. And then God said the other day he wants to talk about a sojourner. All right, that is a person who lives as a foreigner temporarily in a place that is not his permanent home. So, you know, if you're from, you know, let's say overseas, and you're here, this is just a temporary place. It's not your permanent home. You're just visiting, all right? Or if I lived in Georgia, and I'm here, this is not my permanent home. I'm just visiting here, okay? So that's what a sojourner is. Let's look at John 15:18. Jesus says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. We have to keep that constantly before us. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Now, if you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Was Jesus of the world? No, he was not. And the people didn't understand him and they didn't like him. So are we of the world? No, we were not. Heavens, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you, sometimes you just feel like you don't belong here anymore? That's because we don't. We are from heaven, and we are sojourners here on this earth, and we just long to be back up into heaven where our true home really is. You know, and I often think to myself, God, I don't really feel like I've been feeling like this, you know, ever since I've been born again. And I was always afraid to say it, but now I'm not afraid to say it anymore because this is not our home. We're just down here helping Jesus get the world lined up so Jesus can come back again. And we can go on at home and feel at home. Please remember that. So you're not weird. It's how you should be feeling. In John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" And Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king, and for this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." You know, we were not born to mix in with the world. We were born to be totally and completely different than the world. And, you know, some people got off course and got mixed in with the world, but God's been drawing us back to where we should truly be, and that's citizens of heaven. So, you know, you should really get excited when you figure out all the battles you've been going through and the trials and tribulations, because you're really not of this world. You see, some people do things and get away with it, and you wonder why. It's because they are of this world. Are you listening here? Scripture teaches that all people are sojourners here on earth. The temporary nature of our lives is expressed in James 4:13. Paul says, Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Paul wasn't saying this, it was James, wasn't it? Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? What did God tell us? Quit looking at tomorrow. Live one day at a time. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So James is saying we're nothing but a vapor, a mist sitting somewhere. David proclaimed to God in Psalm 39:5, "Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath." A few verses later, David declares in Psalm 39:12, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner as all my fathers were." This is not your permanent home. We try to make it our permanent home, but it's not. Heaven is our permanent home. And that's why whenever we get all beside ourselves, we say, "Boy, I'll be glad when I go to heaven." You're saying, "I'm glad when I can go back home." And you know, a lot of men in the military said, "I can't wait to get home." They're out there in the foreign land. And they're just saying, "I just need to go where there's peace and quiet." All right, let me see, what did I do here? Okay, of the Old Testament believers, the author of Hebrews wrote, and I looked up to see who the author in Hebrews was, and they think it was Paul, so they're not sure, all right? So Hebrews 11:13, "These men of faith I have mentioned died without ever," he's talking about the Old Testament people, "these men of faith I have mentioned died without ever receiving all that God had promised them, but they saw it all awaiting them on ahead and were glad, for they agreed that this earth was not their real home, but that they were just strangers visiting down here." And quite obviously, when they talked like that, they were looking forward to their real home in heaven. If they had wanted to, they could have gone back to the good things of this world, but they didn't want to. They were living for heaven, and now God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has made a heavenly city for them. So if the old gougers knew that heaven was their home, what's wrong with us younger ones who can't understand that and have a hard time even saying that? Because we've become so civilized that we're no longer heavenly minded, right? Come on. I want you all to understand from this night forward, this is not your home. Never was, never will be. Heaven. Sitting with the angels. Singing and dancing. And just having a good time is where we should be. We have a hard time maybe we have a hard time singing and dancing here because we just know it's better up there where we came from. Okay, so when Jesus was born, before he was born, where was he at? With the Father. And so God says, I placed you in your mother's womb. But as we read through the word, it says that he tells us that he had a conversation with us in heaven, and we agreed to come down to earth. Weren't we stupid? And be a vessel that he could work through, just like Jesus did. Look how Jesus suffered. And what are we doing? We are suffering also. Come on. We were once seated in heavenly places, and God talked to us, and we just thought it was so wonderful to do him a big favor, and we came down here. All right, to the New Testament believers, Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2:11, Dear brothers, you are only visitors here. Since your real home is in heaven, I beg you to keep away from the evil pleasures of this world. They are not for you, for they fight against your very souls. And Philippians 3:20 says, For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So believers in both Old and New Testaments viewed themselves as sojourners, who were living as temporary guests on earth, longing for their permanent and eternal home with God. Is this making sense to you all? Yes. And making it sense, how come you just don't feel comfortable sometimes? That just something's not right. And it isn't. Our address is wrong. You know? Should read 1458 Heavenly Lane or something. All right, John 15:18 said, If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, I think we read this before, didn't we? If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. There's a scripture in the Bible that tells you that not everybody is going to go to heaven. I was going to write that down, I forgot. And so, you know, as I was studying these scriptures, I thought, well, you know, so the world does hate us. And where did the world come from? Are these demonic entities that are in the world that don't have a place in heaven? And they know you do, and so they just persecute you. You can think about that and ask God about that, all right? But that's what I think. Parts of the world may feel very comfortable and familiar to us, but other times we will feel like we are indeed strangers living in a strange land. As sojourners on earth, we understand that our best investments are those with eternal value. And you can find that in 2 Corinthians 9:6 and Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Our time as sojourners here is purposeful. We have a purpose for being here. While we are on the earth, on this earth, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors for Christ, sharing the truth of the gospel with others so that they can also be reconciled with God. So what are we here? Ambassadors for Christ. That's why we're here. We do not live attached to the things of this world, but we are still fully engaged in life. You know, when I first got born again, you know, I just dropped my insurance, did all that kind of stuff that everybody does. And God said, life has to go on. You have to live life while you're here. But I thought I was already in heaven when I got born again, all right? And some of you probably did too. But you found out that didn't work, did it? But God really and truly wants us to understand that we are not earthly people. Our home is in heaven. All right, so how many of you, you know, really, you mingle with people around you, but sometimes some people you just feel funny around them. You're just not comfortable. You know that they're just not right with God. That's the world. And why do we feel like that? Because we're of the heavenly realm. And we know what is worldly and what is spiritual. And you're like some little kids, they just, when they talk to you, they just say such wonderful spiritual things. And you think, how they know all that? It's still because, all right, I read an article one time, maybe you read the same article, where this little three-year-old girl went to her parents one time and told them that she couldn't remember heaven as clearly as she was. And then after a few months went by, she cried and said, I can't remember what heaven was all about. But from the time she was born until she was 3 and a half or 4, she still remembered heaven. She talked about the angels and everything. But she cried because now she could no longer remember her real home, because she was down here in this earth. I always loved that when I read it. And what do you think, I said that to say this, what do you think our kids are going through sometimes? Maybe they have not forgotten what heaven's like. And they're still remembering heavenly things. And then they have visions and dreams of heaven where they know they came from. And I'm glad when I hear children like that, because I understand that they are still living in heaven in their spirit. And they have not gotten involved with the things of the world. All right, believers in Jesus are children of God who have been given the privilege of relationship with Him, relationship with other believers, and sharing His love, truth, and light with the world. We have much to learn, much to enjoy, and much to share while sojourning here. And you can look at John 1:12, John 13:34 and 35, Matthew 5:13 through 16, Acts 1:8, 1 Peter 3:15, and Ephesians 4:15 all cover this. I don't know if your mother's ever talked to you, but my mother always said, when I carried you, you were different. When you were born different. There was just something about you. And you've always been different than my other children or other children I've been around. Well, I came straight from heaven and carried the glory and didn't understand what was going on in life. I was always a child that was very loving and very caring and very compassionate. And I always wanted everybody to go. I thought everybody had to go to church. You know, I always gathered people, kids up, took them to church. And mother said, why do you do these things? It was just in me to do these. And what made me do those? Because the things of heaven were still in me. You know, stop and think of what you do, what you've been doing in life. And understand, you came from heaven and heaven was still in you. Jesus came to heaven. Heaven was still in Jesus. It never left him, because he was just a sojourner down here to do his part. All right? The Israelites knew their captivity would last only 70 years, yet God tasked them with making homes and seeking the good of those in the foreign land to which they had been exiled. They were to live with purpose, even in their sojourning. How many of us live with purpose? You know, think about it. How many of us truly live with purpose? Now, I'm not saying you're not from heaven if you don't. But if you're from heaven, you should live with purpose. And I really know that this is why God always says to us, quit trying to live a month. Live one day at a time. And if you do that, you always have purpose. Because the day before you figure out what you're going to do the next day, you have a purpose for that day. Every day should be have purpose in it. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," says the Lord. "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all of your heart, I will be found by you," says the Lord. "And I will bring you back from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you," says the Lord. "And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive." A lot of promises are in there. Sojourning is not merely about waiting or trying to gain purpose through platitudes. It is real life, lived in real places, with real people, in a way that matters both temporarily and eternally. Life is real. And we have to live in life. The other day I was talking, and Gabriel said, "You don't have no filter, do you?" And I said, "Look, you kids have got to know the truth. You can't live, you know, just believing a bunch of junk. You have to know. You're old enough to know the truth." And I said, "No, I don't have a filter." I had to admit that, because I was just telling them what life is all about. See, children aren't taught what life is all about. They're sheltered, and then when they find out what life is all about, they're blown away. You understand this? Jesus reiterated God's stance on treating everyone with dignity and care, emphasizing the importance of looking after those in need, including strangers living in our midst. And in Matthew 25:42, he says, Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in a prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." So we are supposed to live just like we are Jesus. We are supposed to treat the stranger like we've known them forever. And when we do everything that he just talked about here, then we are doing it to Jesus. Since we are people from heaven, we are supposed to be a little bit smarter than the world, and we are supposed to do on earth what we were doing in heaven, which was living in perfect peace and caring for one another. All right. Just as Jesus identified with those in desperate situations, so too are we to identify with others in their need. As for literal sojourners, we can become more empathetic by remembering that we are living as sojourners in this world, longing for our eternal home as citizens of God's heavenly kingdom. Let me ask you a question before we go into what God had to say, because he first of all said this, but I put it at the end. If you're going to really live like Christ, let me put it this way. If you came from heaven, you're going to want to help people. That's just going to be embedded in you. And you're not going to be thinking, "What's in this for me?" Because if somebody in heaven wouldn't think like that. And sometimes, you know, did you ever just all of a sudden just start talking like somebody was in the room with you? You know, what you're doing is your spirit is speaking to another spirit, you know, people from heaven. And I catch myself doing that. Like, I think people think I'm crazy because I really hold a conversation. And I really feel like there's somebody there with me when I do that. And I, you know, that the Spirit of God is always around us. The angels are always around us. And, you know, sometimes in my dreams, I know I was in heaven. and I know us conversing with heavenly beings. And you know, because my dreams are always white, bright and brilliant, you know, just really shining. And I know that I've talked to people up there. A lot of people don't have that. Guys, you guys are special. You came straight from heaven, lived hell for a season. But all this time God was with you, and all this time all of heaven was in you. And now is the time when God's bringing all that out. And that's what I really believe with all my heart, that is why God is saying it, that the prophets are saying we're going to have a lot of dreams and visions, because we are finally going to be able to, you know, our place in heaven is going to become real to us, and God's going to be able to speak to us through dreams and visions about what we already know. All right, let's go on. This is what Jesus, he gave me this word to give about this. He said, my children, you are sojourners in this land of the living. You are not of the world, even though you live in the world. You are my chosen ones that I have separated from the world. The reason for the separation of the world is for you to hear my voice very clearly and take the message of salvation to a lost and dying generation. You have been through the fires of cleansing, and you have survived the lion's den more than once. You have separated yourself from the lies of the enemy, and you are speaking the truth of my word to all those who will listen. I'm going to stop her because this just popped into my spirit. Those who are truly from heaven are not angry people. You might be hurting. You know, you could even have a sin nature, but yet you're still happy. You know, when you go into a room, you project happiness. You bring happiness with you. And if you're angry all the time, then that's not from heaven. And you need to really search yourself. What is going on in my life? Why am I angry all the time? I went through a season of a whole year of being so angry I couldn't stand my own self. And you and God showed me that it was a spirit from hell trying to destroy me, because I was never an angry person. You know, I'm very, very patient, but then, and I'm long-suffering, then all of a sudden, had enough. We've all been there, right? Yeah, all right, devil, I've had enough now. And then you make him stop. But I can endure for a long time. But that 1 year, it was terrible. I got up angry, was angry all day, went to bed angry. I mean, I don't see how anybody lives angry. I really don't. That's just not my lifestyle. And it really messes your spirit, man, up to be around people who are angry. I mean, because there's no peace. No peace. So God says, you are not in this for recognition. You're here because you have sold yourself out to me and only want my truths to be spread abroad. Are you hearing what God is saying here? So much is being spoken at this given time that is not of me, and many are falling into the abyss because they believe the lies of the enemy. You, on the other hand, your ears and your eyes have been tested by the enemy, and you have prevailed. See, this is positive, you know. Even when you did not understand the wiles of the evil one, you stayed the course of truth, and you would not relent to the lies of the evil one. You hear that? Because of these choices, you have entered totally into the kingdom of heaven, and you have set your eyes on the prize. What does God require of the sojourner? All right, God said, let's read that again. Because of these choices, you know, you didn't relent to the enemy. You kept on going no matter what he was doing to you. And I don't think there's a one in the sound of my voice tonight that can't say that there's been testing times in your life where you thought you couldn't make it. Because he tested you to the very core of your being, trying to destroy you. But you didn't give in to that. And because of these choices, you have entered totally into the kingdom of heaven, and you have set your eyes on the prize. He's talking to you guys tonight. because he said, I went to talk to them about being a sojourner. Then he gave me this word, but I put the word at the end. I thought if you read the scriptures first, it would make more sense to you. So how many of you still have your eyes on the prize? God said you all have. Now, do you believe yourself? The devil in you saying you haven't? Or do you believe what God just spoke to you? You know, God never speaks just to speak. He always speaks the truth. Amen. So what does God require of the sojourner? In Micah 6:8 it says, He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? God requires you as children of heaven to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You're not the same right now as you were when you came in here, because now you understand why you feel uncomfortable here, and you understand why some days your brain's all rattled because you just don't understand what's going on, because your spirit man's not used to, I'll call it stupidity. Your spirit man is used to peace and quiet and rest and love, giving, sharing. So what are you believing tonight? God said you're a sojourner. I didn't say that. God did. And you're just here walking this earth, doing what God and you talked about in heaven, until it's your turn to be called on home. And you're not going to go home until God wants you home. And then you're going to go when he wants you to go, whether you want to go or not. But then you can be like the king in the Bible, who the prophet went to him and told him to get his house in order because he was going to die. And the prophet didn't even get out into the courtroom until God spoke to him and said, go back in and tell him he's going to live. Now today they call you a false prophet. And what happened was, it was Hezekiah, right? King Hezekiah, when he was told he was going to die, he turned his face to the wall, that's in the word, turned his face to the wall, cried out to God, and told God all about what he did all of his life. And God gave him 15 more years, and he was supposed to die that day. So don't tell me you can't change your destiny, because you can. It's up to you. God could say you're going to be the next president, but you can really get really stupid and then you'd never be a president. It's not that a false prophet has come into town. You changed your own prophetic word. God didn't change it. Now, are you going to believe tonight that you are really a child from heaven and you're very uncomfortable in this world because your spirit man is just not used to this junk? And your spirit man said, hey, let's just you and I take a trip back home. I think really that's why we have our dreams and visions, because we take a little trip back home. And we get refreshed. Then we can go on and do the works that God's called us for to do. I think every time Jesus went to the mountain, him and God had a great big reunion. Because he came back down refreshed, didn't he? And then he could minister some more. So guys, I really would just like for you all to really understand that this is not your home. And I hope none of you were made for hell. Because God says right in his word, not everybody is destined to go to hell. I mean heaven. And he even says in the word, very few will find the narrow gate to go to heaven. But a lot of people will find the wide gate to go to hell. It's totally up to each one of us here tonight. You young kids, I wish you'd understand you were from heaven and you weren't from hell. I wish you would understand that God has a purpose for your lives, you know. And you younger kids, 30, 40, whatever, I wish you'd understand that this is your time to shine. This is your time when God really wants to use you mightily. Doesn't matter what the devil's been doing with you all your life. Now's the time when God is calling you back home. I just heard it say, he's calling you back home. Calling you back to your purpose. And if you just trust him, he can get rid of all the junk in your life. And you can go forth and fulfill his purpose. Amen. A few years ago, God told me the cancer had come back to my body, and he was taking me home. And I cried out to him, I said, God, I can't go home yet. I said, I have two little boys I have to raise. I said, please, Father, let me stay a little bit longer. He said, wish granted. I shouldn't even be here today. But I chose, like the king, to stay here and raise two boys. I have a father who loves me, who listens to what I have to say. What's he saying in the word? Come and reason with me. Doesn't he say that? And you just go and talk to your father. Tell him, you know, tell him your heart. Tell him what you desire. And watch what he'll do for you. I feel so sorry for anybody that does not know God. I really do. They aren't living. I mean, they're just existing. At least we're living. We have a purpose in life, right? And that's to get the lost saved, get this glory dropped, get the revival in, so Jesus can come, we can go on home. Amen. And then let the world wallow in their sin. The altar's open tonight. God wants to reveal you who you truly are. You're going to have dreams. You're going to have visions in the days ahead. And he's going to show you what you're really sent on this earth to do. And then there will never be another question in your heart. Why am I here?